Okay. Same way.
So welcome to the Budget and Administration Committee meeting. I'm calling the meeting to order at 5:30.
On time. Yeah. How many seconds?
roll call.
Everybody's a critic.
Yeah.
Great. Roll call, please.
Yes. Director Wolfson.
Present.
Director Gilchrist.
Present.
We have a quorum.
Okay. And General Manager Johnson is also here.
Yes, I'm here as well.
Okay. Public testimony will be received on each item of the agenda as it's called. You guys all know that. So, adoption of the agenda?
I didn't have any changes or concerns.
I do not either. Do we take that out to the public for?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so I take it out. Any public comment on the adoption of the agenda? No? Okay. Back to you.
I move we adopt the agenda as written.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carries.
Okay.
All right.
So open forum for members of the public to speak on any item not on the agenda. Any public comment?
I'm not sure where it is in the agenda. I think it's on here, but I'm going to shoot anyway.
Yeah.
So it's more of a procedural question. Is I saw
Weston said, you should put in for this. We just couldn't do it. So this person, we want to also get them in tune with writing the grants, the Defensible Space grants, and all those other grant opportunities that are out there.
Okay. Any other public comment? Okay, bringing it back to the board. Send this to the board with our support, Don.
And the two small changes.
And the two small changes. With the two small changes.
And there'll be one additional. As I look at it today, and my apologies, the final document should have a more clear fiscal impact, and I'm noticing this one does not. And so roughly it's $57,000 to $60,000 was the cash, and I think there's another $30,000 that was the benefits. So I'll make sure that fiscal impact is added in here, and that was all included within the budget. I think it was actually a little higher in the budget.
So. It says $94,000.
I had a little bit of a breakdown, breakdown.
I'm just
okay. Usually there's a better spot for you there, so I'll make sure it's there.
Okay. Agree?
Yep.
Move to the board with support.
And that's with the updated salary schedule.
With the updated salary schedule.
Thank you.
And the minor changes to the primary and secondary duties.
Got it.
Okay, moving on to item number 4, Volunteers in Support Program.
All right, this one I am super excited about, can you tell? So this is actually one of our board priorities where we had the meeting about your budget priorities, and this is one of the ones that we actually moved up higher at the request of the board. And so my last walk and talk out at the lake was very well attended. About 30 folks participated. Really, really good conversation. And I left with a list of people that want to volunteer to do whatever. I think you're likely going to get in excess of 100 volunteers wanting to do different things. So we need to put a program in place. So what you have in front of you is a proposal really to do just that. We're calling it VIP, or Volunteers in Support Program. But VIP was kind of neat.
California.
You have a VIP program? Oh man, I'm not even authentic.
Uh-uh.
Or original.
Copycat.
Sorry, buddy. So anyways, that's exactly what it is. Listening to the community members out there, there's a lot of interest to do more because they want to get back to the community, but a lot of folks, especially some of our retirees, they want more things to do. And a lot of them told me, we're already walking around the lake. We're already, you know, picking up the fishing lures and those kind of things. Hey, we'll come close the gate for you. Hey, we'll open the gate. And I'm like, okay, well, let's get a process and program in place. So you have a draft policy in front of you. It is meant to be very brief because this just empowers the document behind it. The document behind it really is just kind of information more than anything else. We're not asking you to approve that. We will approve the operations of it, but we're asking you to approve the policy. And so the document here will be a living document. It'll change as we add new potential opportunities to volunteer. But when you look at this, I'll highlight one specific area for you. So if you go to, I think it's the third page back, 1, 2, 3, it talks about the volunteer categories, general volunteers, and that's just people that want to just volunteer generally. They don't care where or what. They can have those opportunities, and so you might have somebody here at the center directing our visitors where to go, or we might have them at the check-in booth. We might have them at the concession stand. We might have them on the pool deck is just another set of eyes. We'll look at those kind of opportunities or at the reception desk. Youth volunteers, a lot of the schools require volunteer time. And so if they're under 18, they'll have to have approval of their parents, and sometimes their parents will be there as well. So a lot of the schools are requiring time, and they have to get that signed off. So that's one of the programs we didn't want to lose out on. We've actually had groups contact us, say, I wish you had a youth program.
Which brings me to a question, though, mm-hmm. because I know when my kids had that, it was sixth grade, and that's younger than 14.
Yes.
And is there any way that we can accommodate that? Was the 14 an insurance issue, or what was it?
That was part of the issue, but there are ways around that, but we'd have to work with whatever entity that is that's requesting. If they carry the insurance, that might be something that we can look at, but that was one of the recommendations, right now. But I do think we can get there. It just depends on the agency requesting. Group or project-based volunteers. So we had a couple of the churches that started off with one, and then we got three of the congregations. They all came out. We had over 100 people out there at the park at the lake. And so that's what that's meant for. County referred volunteers. These, and I don't want to scare you with these are they're part of the court-mandated community services requirement. Mm-hmm. These are very low-level. These are, I got a traffic ticket or three or four traffic tickets, you need to go do community service. We've done this at the fire department many, many times. These are not your felonies or anything like that. I just want to make that clear. Right. They just need to check the box and have time.
Well, I'm remembering the furor over the idea of putting an overnight homeless thing
yes.
here, even though people are bussing him in and out.
Yep.
And is this going to cause the same kind of concerns from the community?
I don't think so. And like we say in there, it'll be recommended or determined on a case-by-case basis. So we'll look at the restrictions. We'll look at what it was, where the group is requesting, and we'll make a good decision on that. But we wanted to add that because I do think that there's some civic value to that. I mean, these aren't like they're criminals. They might be your kid that's got 5 speeding tickets. And they need that opportunity to get that off their record. So reduce that a little bit. Retirees and seniors, this will be one of our largest groups. I'm getting a lot of good information. I've got a bunch of phone numbers. There might be one or two people in the room that might want to volunteer, I've heard.
I'm not retired. No, I told you I would look at it.
Yes, I know. The park, but you told me, yes. Another unique one's going to be the park host program. That's one that I'm really excited about. We still want to work with the county and make sure we don't need any special permitting or anything like that, but this will be an individual that has an RV that we approve to be out there, and it will connect to our power, our sewer, our internet, and in exchange they'll give us, and I know the hours are low, so we're still playing with this. I threw out 20 hours, and I've had people ask me, well, why not more? Why not ask for 30 hours? And so we'll play with that. I put 20 because that's what some of the other agencies around that I looked at, they were about 20. So we'll look at that. I think that's going to be a great program. You'll have them available also to open and close gates. You'll have them to be able to walk, and they can do some of the, hey, we really can't have dogs here, and those kind of things. They can do a lot of that. And then just eyes, having somebody out there go a long ways. Community Emergency Response Team, this is one that I will tell you, this is a future one, but we want to put this in because that is a goal, is to have a Community Emergency Response Team. This team is not to replace the fire department, it's to augment what the fire department does. And so, say we have a super windy day where we've got lines down and things like that, we want to get our fire engine back in service or going to the next emergency call, you could have a CERT member stand by there with the vest in a vehicle, and they'll wait for PG&E. That's how that program works. They also are deployed through FEMA. There's reimbursement, there's grants through FEMA. So say we have a disaster. When we have a disaster, the fire department can't do everything. They can't be everywhere. So these folks are taught how to do first aid. They're taught how to do CPR. They're taught how to use a fire extinguisher. So they are deployable resources in our region to help in the case of emergencies. So if you think about when we activate the evacuation center, well, your CERT team can come in and assist the Red Cross in all of that. They can make sure things are taken care out on our grounds. And so that's a program that I think we need to be looking at, but we wanted to put that in there as well. That's not activated. We're not asking to activate that one right now. The other one I put in was a reserve firefighters, and it'll have its own manual. So this is just to say what it is and what they do, because it is a volunteer type program. So it falls within this policy to activate it. We've never really formally activated the reserve for our intern program here at the agency. So this policy will activate that. I think it'll make the insurance companies happy that we have an actual program approved by the board, at least a policy, and then the manuals will be, those will be live documents. So the reserves will have theirs, this volunteers and support and all the different positions, they'll have their manuals, and that's really what drives them day to day. I just want to highlight all of those because those are our volunteer categories, if you will, under this policy. And with that, I'll take any questions you might have.
Well, I've already thrown mine at you, so.
And I don't have anything additional, so public comment.
Rather than camp report. Who's going to be the CERT teacher responsible to teach the CERT?
Well, I know this wonderful gentleman. I'm hoping to twist his arm. His name is Brad McMullen, and I'm hoping that he will be our lead, because we are looking for a retired firefighter to lead this effort.
I'm not an instructor. I'm not certified.
That's interesting, because they have trained the trainer programs, and we can certainly put you through. Thank you for stepping up and volunteering,
Brad,
sir.
Brad is one awesome person.
Oh, I know. I agree.
I support
this. It's unanimous, Brad.
You might not like my approach.
I can
stand
there and provide comic relief.
He's very, very smart.
Oh, yeah.
He knows Excel really well.
That's not going to help. In all seriousness, Brad, you'd be the perfect person to kind of work on that effort. And, yeah, we'd love to talk to you more on that when that time comes.
Does Eldorado Hills have a CERT program?
They do. I started that program in 2020, and they have a decent program down there. Folsom's is stronger. Their program has their own independent responders. They've got converted ambulances, and they'll go out to fire scenes. They'll do rehab. If you have a long extended event where the fire department's going to be there, they will bring them coffee. They'll bring them snacks. They'll do all those types of things. Major events, think Summer Spectacular, they'll set up an EMS stand. They'll put blowers out there, and they'll give water to folks that need it. So it's a phenomenal, phenomenal program. It's a FEMA program. And, man, I tell you what, we're missing the boat by not giving our community that opportunity. It's only a matter of time before we have a major disaster. And when that occurs, the fire department only has so many people on. And so you're going to need the community to step in.
So you also have a resource that was right out of our district, retired Chief Rob Combs.
We do.
You do.
It's always nice to have a co-teacher.
Now, we have Rusty Dupre also, but I don't know if they're still, like, doing their thing at Yosemite as camp host, but he lives right over there.
He would be good, but you can't interfere with his pickleball time.
Would EDH and Folsom be willing to share their curriculum?
I have everything.
Yes.
I have it all.
Okay.
Yes. No, I have it all. I've got all the FEMA contacts. I've got our area rep already. Folsom, I'm in direct contact with the person running that program. Sacramento City probably has, they have the most robust program. I think they've got 80 or 90 members, and they've got ham operators. They get deployed to the fires. They'll go out and they'll do large animal, not the rescue portion, but they'll set up the center. Just like we have a center here for evacuees, they'll go set up a center for large animals and things like that. So we've got a lot of great resources. That's a program I'm very proud of, because it's just needed, and it gives the community a purpose to come in and support their fire department and their community.
Okay, Vicki.
Just a couple of questions. I think this is all wonderful. The only thing is, it takes a lot of work to coordinate volunteers.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what I did for 20 years mm-hmm. with lawyers who are probably more difficult than most people, but there's personalities, they can give you problems, if people come in and you find out they have a bad attitude, there's just, I could tell you a million stories. The question is, who's going to take care of that?
Great question. We've already identified a program manager. That will be our newest employee in recreation division, our recreation specialist. She will be the coordinator of the program, and then our recreation supervisor. A lot of the things that we're going to do fall under that division. So when you think about all of our events, well, guess what? That's planned by recreation. this facility that's planned by recreation and facilities. So they'll work hand in hand, but the person that is taking the phone calls, managing the calendar, those kind of things, that'll be the recreation division.
Okay, because that person will have probably, if it becomes robust,
Absolutely. It could eventually develop
into a full-time job.
Absolutely. We had at the walk and talk, we had the executive director of the Folsom Historical Society, I believe. She lives here in town, and she lives around the lake, and she says, let's talk. I'd love to tell you everything that we've done setting up our program, and so she was very supportive.
That's great. Second question. I'm intrigued by the Park Coast Volunteer.
Yes.
It sounds like it's needed, and it mm-hmm. all sounds good. I remember when I was working, issues came up with whether these type of people should be paid. I mean, Yes. Are you just planning to, give them a place to park and that's it, no payment?
That's a great question. So we looked at probably 20 different programs, and most of them have been large park districts. East Bay Mud, YOLO's got a program. That's what they do. Ventura County, they do that at all their parks.
So it's all in California.
It's all over. Okay. It's all over the nation.
I'm just worried about our labor laws.
You can have. That's why they're volunteers, and that's why it might be those 20 hours. That might be why. So I'm doing more research on that piece.
Yeah.
But it is just exchange for services. So they get a place to live, and they go out and we just track their hours and look at that one.
Comparable type of thing we used to run into is the people who were hired to manage apartment buildings, so they would get free place to live,
Yes. And
maybe a couple other little goodies, but they wouldn't get paid.
Yes.
And how much time were they putting in, and were they basically overworked for what they got? So I just want to make sure that there's some precedent in other programs for this.
Absolutely, and we're running all of this through HR. I know she's got her initial review on this as well.
Okay.
So we'll make sure we're not violating any rules or laws. I'm excited about this program because even just having somebody there, I think is going to go a long ways.
You have to do a background check on those folks?
We will do a background check. It'll be the same level that we would do for a volunteer, so you would do a drug screen, and likely we'll have them go do the DOJ fingerprinting.
Right.
And we'll do that there. I think that's
kind of cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Okay, bringing it back. Staff recommends we send this to the board to approve the establishment of the Volunteers and Support Program and direct staff to implement the program.
Totally good with that.
Thank you.
Send to the board with our support. All right, moving on to the agenda.
We had final budget?
Yep, final budget.
So final budget.
Didn't we have the surplus fire apparatus first, or am I out of order?
It's number 8.
Okay.
That's scary, yes. Final budget, not a lot to report to you on this. You all had asked for some minor changes, and so we did a lot of the corrections. You see all my stickies in there. And so we're really just cleaning up the language. And you might see some minor changes when it comes to salaries, and that is looking at, if we have leave and there's no salary tied to that, that might be a savings, and so you might see that. We're still working, with HR to see, is that the right thing to do? So we're going to be within the same footprint that we gave to you at the preliminary budget. We might move some things around between departments, but that's really about it. Budget priorities, I know that was a really big one for you all, and I'm happy to announce, some of the things that you highlighted on your budget priorities. You had a total of 11 items on your budget priorities, and so we've already started going down that list. So when you look at the volunteer program, that's one of the big ones. The defensible space or wildfire mitigation coordinator is another big one on there. So we truly are going down that list and knocking those off. So we're not letting the grass grow under our feet there. Let's see. Capital expenses breakdown. That was one of the requests. We are still working on what that looks like. For the fire department, we already have that broken down. And so it will not be part of the budget, but it'll be a supplemental document that you can look at and see what the capital purchases are, what the capital improvements are. So we're finishing that document up. And that'll be on the park side.
So there's no attachment to this agenda.
Still
cleaning it up.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, that'll go to the floors. It's a verbal. The deferred maintenance list, there was another request, and so we're going through that as well. We We really took the old Browning Reserve study, put that to a list we had already started, and we're putting numbers on there. The only caution I would give you is, remember, these numbers are, honestly, they're guesstimates. The fire department, I think Dusty can speak to it, they were trying to be super down to the penny on what it was going to cost, and so now vendors don't want to come out, because if you ask me for a quote every single year, but you never ask me to actually do the service, pretty soon they go, yeah, we're not going to come out and give you any more quotes. And that's the same thing here. We're not going to expend staff time to have all these people come out and give quotes. After a while, they just stop coming. So that's kind of where we're at. So these are going to be estimates. We'll kind of look around on, you know, what we'll do searches on, what does it cost to paint? What is the linear foot cost for concrete? Those kind of things. That's what we'll look at, and that's what we'll put in there. The new engine, I just put that as a note. We probably need to start talking about that a little bit, Chief. I think you said 2026? Next fiscal year. Next fiscal year.
Yeah, we're supposed to get a chassis in the first quarter of 26.
Okay.
And then it's build time from there.
So we might need to play that one by ear, because that could potentially be by the end of the fiscal year. That could pop in and surprise us. So we just need to think about that. And really what I want to do is bring that to your minds, because we do have funds in the fire department reserve to pay for the engine. But it might be better for us to look at lease rates and things like that, see what that looks like, and we'll work with Ken. Does it make more sense for us to keep our money making money, or does it make more sense for us to pay cash and do it that way? So that's where we're under that new engine.
Dusty, did you guys prepay for that chassis?
No.
Okay.
No money's been spent.
Pay on delivery.
Okay. But isn't it sometimes when you prepay that you get kind of a break?
They do that, and typically they've done that on their bigger Type 1 apparatus and things like that. I can tell you the last engine and truck down the El Dorado Hills that we did that, we did the analysis and it did not make sense. We were making more money with keeping our money here and not prepaying. Yeah. So it just goes up and down with the cost of inflation.
Yeah, I just remember when George sold the engine, people always seemed like they were prepaid. Yeah. So they had some sort of discount.
Right. The challenge these days is you have to factor in an engine might not be there for 4 years.
Yeah.
So if you're paying up front, you're 4 years without that cash in your bank. That's a big deal.
Okay,
good deal. Fourth quarter, Cal Fire. Chief's been great. I think, we talk a lot. There's been no surprises. The fourth quarter came in exactly where we thought it would come in. We got the original estimate. It actually came in lower, a little bit lower than the estimate, but it came within range of what we thought the budget was going to end for the fourth quarter. Of last year, so I'm super, super happy about that. I think that goes as, show how we are budgeting today is going to reap benefits from us in the future. Our budget's not going to go back and forth the way it does or has in the past. That is all of the updates. There's some minor changes. We had one GL code that was duplicate, so we cleaned that up. And then there's a couple spelling errors and things like that. We clean those up. And then those were the major ones. Katie, I know you talked about having an actuals column for 25 in there. So we're looking how we can clean that up and put that one in there too. We'll work with Ken on how to put that in. And then lastly on that, Ken has worked on a format, if you will, so we can bring our monthly reports to you. I really like where he's going with that, and I think at the next board meeting maybe we can bring something to you. And it really shows, where we're at on a monthly basis, and it's more visual than anything else, because the sheets that we've gotten in the past, and you guys have all seen those, it doesn't tell you a really good picture. So I'll highlight one of the items, and we sent it to all of our department heads, and it really was just a message saying, hey, we are this dry period, dry period funding, we bankroll that ourselves, which a lot of agencies don't. It's different. So El Dorado Hills Fire, El Dorado Hills CSD, and Cameron Park CSD, we don't bank with the county. And so your dry period is typically, Ken, what do you think, June-ish, all the way through, well, for us it's been January 31st is when we get our first big check from the county.
May
to June.
April, May, June
time. So what that means is there's no revenue coming in. We're a little bit different because we've got all the other fees that are still coming in, so there's some revenue coming in. But in some agencies, you get none until you get to the end of dry period funding or dry period. The way it works with the county is if you're one of the other agencies that bank with the county, they bake for them, but they also charge you for that as well. And so there is a benefit to baking with the county, but there's also a lot of downsides to baking with the county.
Yeah, but they're not charging you over and above what that and FEO said too, are they?
They are charging you to use their money, just like a bank.
Are they?
Yeah, so they're charging you to use their
money. Well, you know how I feel? I still feel that this district should go back to the county.
Absolutely not. And I will tell you, just
because you come from an agency, it was a standalone cheat, though.
I'm talking about Rescue Fire Department. Their checks were always wrong. It takes 3 to 4 weeks to get a check from the county. They had multiple fines from other agencies because they couldn't pay on time. And so you want nothing to do with that.
I can only base my opinion on coming from the city and then going into the district for Eldorado County, learning the county way. And I never had a problem at all.
Maybe
things have changed. I have been gone for 20 years, but I never had a problem at all.
Oh, yeah. If you talk to any of the agencies, a lot of them contacted Eldorado Hills and say, hey, can we bank with you instead?
Yeah.
And so I think we're doing the right thing. And so I tell you all that to know that when you look at our cash on hand, that is going to go down, and it'll be a little bit nerve-wracking. But understand that that's normal. We already looked back to last year. We're in the same position as last year, a little bit below that. And the major bills are in. We got the Cal Fire big bill. There was a unfunded liability pension payment we had to make, and then there was also insurance was our other big. Those are typically our big ones for the years, in excess of a couple $100,000. And so those big ones are in. So now it's. I did send a letter out to all the department heads and say, hey, major purchases, they need to be authorized before you make them during this dry period funding time. So I think it was very well received, and everybody got it. We're watching it.
Okay. Questions done?
None.
None for me. Public questions? We already let Barbara have her question.
You snuck in, that's right.
Okay. No action because you're already planning to take it? Or
we'll just take it to the full board. Okay. You guys are ready?
Okay. All right.
Next meeting. Next meeting will be critical. Obviously, we need to have a budget approved. Otherwise, there's some things that we have to do quickly, if not.
Yeah, and actually, it would be very nice, being as it's going to be late in St. Louis, if the really important stuff could be at the front of the agenda, please.
Duly noted. I got you. Yes.
Well, you're up too, and so is...
Well, Monique will not be there at all. Yeah. I will be on by Zoom because my company chose to pick next week for a staff get-together week.
Gotcha.
Oh, fun.
Yep, so we'll make sure we do that.
Okay, moving on to item 6, bylaws legal review.
This one's really quick. We engaged our new attorney to look at our bylaws. As you know, our bylaws are forever old. They needed to do a legal review. I think the board should look at them as well. We wanted him to look at them first, give some thoughts, some recommendations, and see. He did say they're okay, but there's definitely some areas for improvement, so he's given me a list of those. I'll bring those to, well, my recommendation is we work at the committee level, probably budget and admin, to start to work through that. And then when you guys get comfortable to a level, you take the full recommendations, if you will, to the full board. If that works for you, we'll follow that process. We'll put it on your next agenda.
Works for me.
Okay. So that's what we will do on that one. So B&A. Okay.
Okay.
District, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, any comment on that?
Brad Mulan, camera report. That just stirred a thought. How often are our CC&Rs reviewed?
That is
there's some outdated stuff in there.
So CC&Rs are rarely reviewed because they're voted in by the community. And so those, you know, I look back, I'm thinking of mine right now, they are so old and outdated, and a lot of people don't want to touch them because they are voted in.
Okay. But you would have to get that community together,
yes.
And that community would have to take care of reviewing them and modifying them and revoting them in or whatever.
There is a process, but it's a big to-do. Same thing with LLADs.
But Cameron Park's CC&Rs are all the same, right?
No.
Each neighborhood is different.
Yeah. Every community has their own.
Every community, yeah.
It's bizarre.
Okay. It is bizarre. But it's bizarre, and I hate to say it's even normal, but it is. So you look at any community, there's so many different ones.
Yeah, it's like as they were built,
yes,
basically.
Yes.
We have three in our neighborhood.
So basically, when you're in an area with a CCNR, that area wanted, turned it over to you guys to take care of it. Kind of, sort of, right?
No. So I think we're mixing kind of the CCNRs and the LLADs. So your
CCNR. No, I'm talking CCNRs. I mean, because I know the Lyman Landscape District is how different they are. I'm talking about when you have covenants.
Right.
What is it?
Yes.
And conditions and restrictions, right? But in a neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
correct? Well, you're taking care of it for that neighborhood at that small pittance.
We're not necessarily taking care of it. We are we are monitoring, inspecting, and enforcing them, yes.
Well, you're enforcing
correct.
The violations
yes.
versus having the area have yes. someone to enforce it for
exactly. you. Exactly. And I think it's up to $12.
I know.
$12,
yeah.
yep.
Yeah.
And that's
$12 twice yeah. a year, I think, right?
I believe it's just one time a year. I can double check. It's roughly $83,000 offset to the CCNR office.
And for you to able to get, let's say, an additional $12, what would you have to do?
Well, I would say that I couldn't stand here tonight and tell you that we need another $12. I mean, a lot of people would say, yeah, give us that, but we have to be able to justify where we're at. I think we're not recovering 100%, so it will be significantly less than $12.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're meeting the need right now, but we probably have to do a study on what that number should be.
Yeah.
But that would have to be voted on.
Absolutely.
It would have to
vote up. A lot.
Well, it would have to be voted on, and everybody would have to vote on. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other public comment on bylaws? Okay. Moving on to item 7, district revenue option.
So this, you had a board presentation at the last board meeting, and it just talked about all the different budget options or revenue options for us. I think to have a more concerted effort to move down that path, I think it would be good for budget and admin to kind of take that piece on and look at those options. I think it falls right in alignment with budget and admin, unless and until you get to a point where you say, we're going to do a fire assessment or a parks assessment, then you might want to do something different. But I think we need to start having that conversation. There is a significant expense that is not in the budget. I believe it was $125,000, and that was the full study, the survey, or the polling, and getting you all the way to the point, the engineer survey, to getting you to the point of getting it on the ballot. So we'll need to talk about what that looks like, and if that's something the board wants to continue with or this committee recommends, we'll have to look at doing a mid-year adjustment for that, because we don't have that currently in the budget. I do think that now is the time. I think we've got a lot of community support, at least of the concept. I've talked to them all at the walk and talk out there, every one of those, and they say, if you can articulate to us what we will get for that, we would consider that. But if it's simply, we need money, or we're having problems here, we don't have enough money, that won't be enough for them, and they made that very clear. So granted, that's a small sampling of folks, but that's probably pretty consistent with it.
So this will just be an ongoing topic for us to discuss here.
I would say it's an ongoing topic, and we'll start to bring more information into you. I do think we need to probably engage with a consultant at least to come in and talk to you to help us decide if it's going to be parks or if it's going to be parks and recreation or if it's going to be fire. On the fire side, I've said it many times, and I know I've talked to Chief Martin and Chief Blankenheim about it too. It's on the fire side, we have to be able to articulate what we're going to get for that. Could we use a new fire station? Absolutely. Is that the most critical thing right now? I would say no. You know, we look at our staffing. The reserve program has been great in augmenting that staffing, but unless you're going to put a third person on an engine, you have to be able to articulate what you're going to spend those funds on. And so right now, we're fully funding deferred maintenance and those kind of things right now, so we just have to be careful a little bit, because I know there's been some big numbers thrown out there, but we got to be able to justify and say, this is what you're going to get for that. On the parks and recreation side, it's a lot easier because, frankly, we haven't done as good of a job in deferred maintenance and those kind of things. So I can tell you, this needs to be replaced, that needs to be replaced, this is going to fail. We can do that right now. Where the fire department, they've done a really good job of maintaining the facilities. So those are just normal things that are coming up that we're going to have to do. So those are some of the things you're going to have to think about. The other thing to think about is what's likely to pass. And again, how many times do you call 911 in your lifetime? It's actually pretty rare. And some folks never call 911, but when you look at how many touch points that we have for all of our programs, all of our events here, there's thousands a year. So you just have to look at those. And I'm not trying to put fire against parks at all. We're just trying to be a realist and say, hey, where's the biggest need? And the board's going to have to make that decision.
Comment?
Yeah. I made this comment, so you're hearing this twice, yeah. But at the parks meeting, the thing that concerns me is that people don't seem to be well informed about the current economy or structure of the district.
I agree.
All of the things that were, you know, deferred maintenance, and the fact that this place was built without a plan for that, and all the, you know, the fact that the fire services costs have understandably gone up, you know, things, there's a lot that the public isn't aware about. I'm concerned that they are looking, at least from that sample the chief got at the lake, that they're looking for what can I get for voting this salary increase. That's kind of what got us to this problem. It's that attitude, with it meaning this community center. It's, the fact of the matter is, everything costs more now. And it also kind of bothers me, the concept of you know, saying it's going to be a fire thing or it's going to be a parks and rec thing. It's an all-district issue. Everything has gone up. And if we want to be totally transparent, and hopefully appeal to everybody's better natures in terms of trying to understand what the need is here, it's everything across the board and things that were deferred and not taken care of. And they're not going to get, you know, a super slide at the lake. You know, it, and that really bothers me. If we're going to go for an increase, it's like, folks, this is what's happened. This has gone up, this has gone up. You know, you want more this, you want more that. It all costs money. You all know that because you're paying more for everything else that you live by.
Right.
And I just hate to see us, you know, kind of get into the idea of what's going to win the election and appeal to the public as opposed to being just kind of straightforward and transparent about
everything.
This place just needs more money.
Yeah, and so we got great advice. That was my initial thought, was let's do it all. And the consultants, absolutely not.
Well, I know, but that's what they do. They tell you how to win elections.
But you cannot run, you can't run two. You got to run one or the other,
right?
Because they're not the same. You can't do one that's a combined parks and fire.
Why can't you make just for the whole district, because we need money to maintain.
So
we need maintenance money. We need more money for our staffing. I mean, maybe there's a part of this, you know, legally that I'm not aware of. But making it go for one or the other just seems really disingenuous.
Well, and that's why I think the consultant coming in and talking to us more, and that would be another good question. They can articulate that way better than I can. On the why, they can tell you that.
But yeah, I'm just concerned that, you know, we have, California has plenty of people that will advise you about how to run an election. I'm not sure that's, I want to have mechanics. We need to make mechanics and make sure we comply with everything in a timely manner.
Sure.
But then to try and decide how we're going to sell it to the public should be us, you, basically.
Absolutely.
So I agree with Vicki 100%, and you know how I feel. And I'll tell you ladies what I said at the last meeting I was at. I would not support any tax increase of any kind in this district until you get your financial house in order. And I think you all know what I'm talking about. I don't have to say it much more, because I will not support it at all. And then back to the fire and park thing, Chief. Mo, we have both said over the years that what we knew what the split was. I know what the split was. I've only been coming here for what, since 2003, 2004? I feel that if the money had never been skimmed off, and you didn't start it, skimmed off the percentage for our fire, we may not be facing where we're facing. Now, I understand that when the director came up with the thing, the three-man engine company was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, we're not there right now. Will we get there? Who knows? I think as long as we have the director that we have, who is a personal friend of mine also, that I think maybe we're going to be okay with the two-man, even though I'm supportive of the three-man engine company. But you got to be very careful here, because you are talking to the lake people, and that's exactly what they are, is the lake people. They really only care about the lake. They don't really, no, it's the truth.
Amen.
I've lived here, there are I've lived here since 1991. They are wonderful people, yeah. But they live on the lake. They only care about the lake. You see who comes to your meetings. Mm-hmm. Where's the community? These people don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's all I'm saying. I mean,
you've
got to reach out to the whole community and educate them. But then they need to be proactive and educate us. Look at the pickleball people, for God's sakes. They come, they rant in the rain, and then they leave. So, you know, I mean, I will support you any way I can, but, you know, reality check is, Vicki's right, you need to look at this whole thing. Just not make it a park and rec and just not make it a fire. It's the whole picture in this district. I've said it for years. Mm-hmm. You've inherited a mess, but I'm really impressed with you, Tim, more than I've ever seen a general manager do in the short tenure you've been here.
You've got a phenomenal team. We've got great consultants that are helping us.
And working with our fire partners, which means so much.
They've been amazing.
To me and to all of us here.
I
want to thank
you. Don't leave, Bo.
I don't want you to think I'm being super negative. I'm just being really
No, I totally get it. I appreciate your comments. I'll just add this and then we'll move on. Yes.
Bring
you
back.
I got you.
Gotta bring it back.
I'll add this is that remember that we are one. Yeah. And so if there is an initiative that's successful for one, the stress and pressure is going to be off the other one as well, because you're moving things, right?
But so we can't go after a general district.
No, our what we've got for the consultants is no. But if you do take the pressure, say off fire, then that really is pressure off of parks and recreation, vice versa.
Okay, so we'll bring that back, and this will be an ongoing topic of discussion.
I do want to add to that. It's a little bit different, but it's just a little bit different. One of the things that we are actively working on is, and this will go to our ad hoc as well, but your budget admin, so I want you to have the awareness. We have areas within our district that are not in our district, but they're in our sphere of influence, or our SOI. And so unlike a fire department where we make it a condition of approval, so when you have plans for a big community, we say, okay, fire department is agreeable, but you have to annex into the district at the time of approval. Before it can even move forward, you have to do that. We have not done that here. So when I look at Silver Springs, I look at Oak Haven to the far north, I look down south, we just found out the other day, KB Homes, they're already building homes south of 50. That's in our SOI. We get no money for that because we've not annexed that into the district. And so that's something, when we talk about revenue enhancements, that is ongoing revenue, but it's also park impact fees and is also a per rooftop fee that we're missing out on. So I'm meeting with LAFCO tomorrow and I'll continue that, but I wanted you guys to know because I think we need to have you updated on that as well.
Okay. All right, moving on, sale of engine 288.
Yes, we will make this one quick. We had a sealed bid process. As you know, we followed our policy. We talked to the board, let you know we'd be doing this. We developed what a sealed bid process would look like, and we put that out to regional partners first. We had, you know, an initial two-week period, but we discovered that there was a little bit of confusion potentially on the language, and so we just wanted to mitigate that, and so we decided, after conferring with the attorney, just extend it for another week, which we did. We didn't have any bids during the first 2 weeks. All the bids went to the attorney, and then at the closure, he sent all those to us, and we opened them up, and there was only one. So we received two other interests, not even letters, phone calls of interest from other agencies, but they didn't ultimately put in a bid. So we received one bid. That was from the Shingle Springs Band of Miwok Indians. It was for $50,000, which is above our minimum, which was $45,000 for fair market value. And so we did reach out to let them know that you were the winning bidder. This is procedural in coming back to the board for you to authorize the general manager to sell the engine and do all the appropriate paperwork to do that. So that is my recommendation.
And no questions support that.
Comments from the public?
Reverend Vaughn, Campbell Park. The photography is phenomenal. However, I missed the fuzzy.
I thought I put fuzzies on there.
Negative.
I did put fuzzies. I came up with fuzzies.
I thought you did the fuzzies.
No, I did those. Dang
okay,
it.
Any other comments?
Any comments? Sorry.
Any serious comments?
Yes, any serious public comments?
No.
Okay, bring it back. So we will send resolution authorizing the sale and authorizing the general manager to execute all of the necessary documents.
To the board.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to item number 9. We're over our 45 minutes that Dawn gave us.
I know, right?
Dawn said 45 minutes. We're 52 ways to be a better board. You gave us a book. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to number 10. No.
Okay. So, as I promise I will read it. Yeah. So
the concept and the idea is a couple things. One is we want to make sure that we're being transparent, showing that we are doing education with our board. This is a great book. It was one of the CSDA courses that we all took. I think, Don, you were down there with. And so I know Brent personally. He's a great guy and does a lot of good work. So the thought process is maybe at each board meeting, maybe we pick one or two chapters. We assign that out, and we just simply have a five-minute discussion on those two topics. And that's just a thought. And there's some really good items in there, adopt better norms, meetings with deliberacy, keep the agendas clear and purposeful. So it's a really good book, very short read, but I think it would go a long ways in showing that not only are we using the word transparency, but we mean it. That's it.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Any comment from the public? Serious comment from the public?
I'm scared to talk now.
I'm not scared to talk. I think humor is a good thing.
Yes.
Okay. Staff update. July check register and the ACFR.
Yeah, the check registers are there. That's kind of receive and file or receive and forward. And then the ACFR, that's something that we're going to be working on. What does that look like? We will start that process, and so we'll be ready to submit that when appropriate.
Comments?
No, I looked through the check register, and I did not have any questions, although PG&E, oh my God.
Yeah, I saw that, yes.
But anyway.
Yeah.
I have a question, though. How does our solar work? Are we making money, or, you know what I mean? Is there going to be lower?
We're under a PPA, which is a purchase power agreement, which is to say that we pay for the amount of power that we actually produce. That does not mean that we are using all that power. So there is a potential that we're producing excess power, paying for that power. We might not be getting paid for that. But that's what we're going to be working with the audit for with Brighton Energy to figure that out.
So, like, we'll have like an end of the year in kind of bill, like normal.
I think we're getting monthly or quarterly bills. We're getting regular bills from PG&E. Some of that's for power, but some of that's for the lights that they own as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Well, do those bills show a true up or not?
I don't think there's a true up in those at all.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll go back and we do that. I don't
think there's a true up with the PPA. I don't think we have a PPA.
Yeah. We're going to start that audit process on them.
Okay. Any public comment on the check register? Okay. ACFR?
The only one I might add is just the audit. We have to contract with a new auditing firm, and so we've got a number of names for auditing firms. I'll be reaching out to them directly. It falls, within our authority, and we have the budget there for it, and so we will need to select a new firm. The intent is to get them going as soon as possible, so that we stay on track with our next topic.
Yeah, I thought that was under items for future committee meetings, but it fell off, so it's RFP.
I just want to make sure we got it.
Okay. So items for future committee meetings, anything additional we need to add?
Those are the big ones. We looked at this, and the like I said, the job description, obviously the cash handling policy, the cost recovery policy, that one's still on there. There's a couple other policies we'll likely add, and then we're also going to put on there the bylaw review. I think is a good idea to put that on as a regular item.
Okay. Right. Any questions on that from the public? Don, anything more from you?
Just matters to and from.
Right.
Since I am going to be in St. Louis next week, and although I will be on the meeting by Zoom, could you please run it?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so items to take to the board, just a recap, we're going to take the disclosure of the reimbursement, the lifeguard job description, the wildfire mitigation coordinator job description, the volunteers and support program. Of course, the final budget is already on the agenda. The sale of Engine 288. And is that it?
That's it.
Okay. All right. Any other matters to and from?
That was it.
I've got just one. I just, again, want to highlight that Ken Campo, he's been a godsend here, especially with some of the recent personnel movements. He's been great. Ken, what does this mean, or are we on the right track? So he's been really, really good. We really appreciate what he's doing, helping us standardize some things. Even though we have an auditing company doing the audit, it's still nice to send a thing to Ken. Hey, Ken, can you tell me what this means in layman's terms? He's been really, really good about that, so we appreciate it.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you so much.
Okay, then I will adjourn the meeting at 6:38.
Wait, you need a motion.
I thought we didn't have to do motions on committee meetings. Committee meetings, we don't need motions.
None of them need a motion for agenda.
Okay.
Once you complete your agenda.
All righty, then.
It is a standard practice, however. That's one of my